Alan Crane Productions, in association with the Emergent Life Studio, present the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, for autumn semester 2025. Today, bond prices and bond yields. This will be a relatively short lecture. I'm just going to introduce you to the spreadsheets to do the math of bonds. This is not on the quiz or on the midterm, and I will clean up this subject after the midterm day. But again, the midterm is on Wednesday. On Monday, we review. I am talking you through your study guide. You write down everything that I tell you, and then I'll give you a chance to ask me questions, and that should get you your final prep for the midterm exam, which is on Wednesday of next week, right here at this time. But for today, we're still just enjoying the usual lectures and the last quiz before the midterm. And for the sake of fun, let's have a look at the markets. And we have an odd day. As you could very well know, the government shut down because of a budget impasse. Shutdown began at midnight. And one would think that would at least rattle the markets. And what happened was that the markets were a little bit shaken. You're going to see that even though it was a bullish day, it wasn't really as much of a bullish day at all. And you can see the Dow 30 was up a lousy 0.09%. The S&P 500 a little more, 0.34%. The NASDAQ up 0.42%. Very normal, the order of the increases. But they were, it was a mildly bull day, and we can talk more about that. I think on the Monday after the midterm on Wednesday, that next Monday, I'm going to be able to get in a guest speaker for a few minutes that will talk about bull and bear markets for you, so you can get some outside perspective on what, on that kind of a subject. But let me get this straightened up. As you can see, the other side of the world, actually, Nikkei was again down. It's had a couple of nasty drops, and it seems like there's news that comes in, and then it slams the market down, and then the market just sits there lower for the whole trading day over in Japan on the Tokyo Exchange. But as has been happening, the Hang Seng is just keeps rising. By the end of the day over there, China is just showing so much prospective strength as the global leader, and in financial markets, in industrial production, in world partnerships, trading, and all that. We've stepped off the stage, and we will not get it back. And China is filling that vacuum, and you can see it. The markets are just having a really strong upsurge, bullish upsurge. Europe, on the other hand, it was up some. It's doing good, and again, Europe has its abilities, and it will make its place on the world stage as sort of the competitor of China for all of the global trade that's going to happen from here on out. And even London, of all places, is showing a lot of strength over on the other side of the Atlantic. So we've got good markets going on. And overall, the world, except for Japan, was having a bullish day. Coming down here just very quickly to have a look, crude oil still sliding downward, just a glut of supply and that's just driving price of oil down. And of course, that will mean lower gas prices for us. But ultimately, we will end up in a very bad position when the OPEC Plus nations shut off those full-on oil spigots, and it turns around the other way. And by that time, competitors out have already gone bankrupt because they couldn't afford these low prices for oil. So that's there. Now, here's gold. As you can see, it is every day it's finding itself a little closer to $4,000 an ounce. Like I've told you a couple of times now, that's your... It's already sending out all kinds of warning signs that we have a recession coming. High inflation will probably return. Gold is sensitive to both of those. It's like the bellwether. It leads us into those kinds of economic times. While the stock markets go from day to day on just whatever news is out there for the moment, these hard commodities, they are long haulers, and they're warning us about things down the road further. Quick look, I've been showing you the sector map, and I'll probably keep doing that. As you can see, it's a green day. If you remember last on Monday, it wasn't it was a lot greener. This time, there are a few more red sectors, but you still have the big heavy places like technology, which is a dominating in terms of the market capitalization of the whole stock market. It's just doing very well right now. A lot of that has to do with these technological innovations are going to be in high demand as they come online. Artificial intelligence is going to be highly valued. It already is by companies that want to need people. An artificial intelligence bot, it doesn't need a whole lot of people. It doesn't need health care insurance. It doesn't need sick leave. It doesn't need work-life balance. So a lot of companies are just going to simply toss away their human 1.0 and bring in AI and other technologies. AI, artificial intelligence, isn't the only thing that's emerging. But that sector is very bullish right now. But interestingly, banking has been kind of sucky lately overall. You notice that this time there aren't quite as many greens as there were on Monday. In other words, up sectors where the stocks were on average going up. So that's something that we might keep an eye on to see if there's a slow movement toward more reds and fewer greens over the next week or two. But for now, it's pretty decent out there. Let me show you something. I want to do something for you here. I'm going to pull up a stock, just some stock. And I never can remember the trading symbol of this one. Yeah, TMUS, T-Mobile. It's a telecom stock. And I'm going to use this to show you something that might be of use to you very soon. But as you can see, it is a low beta stock. This is something that we see among these telecom carriers, is that they are safe. And it's largely because mobile phones have become a basic commodity of life on the level of food, toilet paper, soap. They have gotten that embedded in our culture that even in a recession, people are going to keep their phones. That's one of the things that won't be given up. So these are relatively safe. You see the beta here is only 0.60. This is a somewhat undervalued company at 21.84 on the PE ratio, and it is ridiculously profitable at $10.68 per share. So this is definitely one of those to look at. Let's look at the holding period return. Just to remind you of that happy thing, I'll bring up the calculator to do this. Now, if you remember, the way you calculate a holding period return would be to take the price in 1 year, which in this case is $272.66. And I divide that by the price now. In other words, I'm going to buy it now, and then I'm going to dump it in a year, divided by $233.26. And minus 1 equals, so I'll turn that into a hundred times it by 100 to get a decimal per, try that again. 270, I'll have to go clear back, 272.66. 272.66 divided by 233.26. And then minus 1, I'm just doing this calculation over again, times 100. Oops. And then, so in other words, the capital gain on this would be 16.89% for a year, 1 year hold. But then I have to add in plus the dividend yield here, which is going to be a check you get in the mail, 1.72%. So your total holding period return for a 1 year holding period is a whopping 18.61% on a low beta stock. And you might have remembered that I showed you that was the case with AT&T and with Verizon. They're low beta, but they still deliver quite a wallop as far as the holding period return. Now, In general, I don't make up spreadsheets for simple calculations types of things. But I decided that I would do that for this. So if you go over here to your Canvas, I want you to do that now, because it might be worth it for you to have this spreadsheet for, oh, say, a quiz. Get your spreadsheet, get your files out. Go to Canvas and Files. Once you've gotten there, what I want you to do is go down to Spreadsheets. And I did this because it's just so, it's like I said, you don't make spreadsheets for simple things unless you don't have something else to do with your life. And I don't. Well, I have my cats, but that's about it. So go down here to Spreadsheets, and you will see Holding Period Return. Now go over here to the three vertical dots and say, let's download this puppy. And double click. Okay. Oh, looky there. Now let me pull up. I'll get rid of this files here. Let me leave student view here. And I'm going to put the pair them together, split the screen. So now let's do this again with this stupid little spreadsheet. Well, what is it? The ending price, 1 year target was 272.66. So I'm going to put 272.66. Oops, beginning price. I'm just testing you here. That's good. You caught that. That's good. 233.26 for the beginning price. I actually put them in order in this. And then you go down, find the 1 year target, the ending price, 272.66. And then you put in the dividend yield, which is 1.72%. And looky there, there's your answer. Now, I don't know if, in a way, this is faster. The thing is, though, that you have to get the spreadsheet set up and all that kind of stuff. But the one thing I do like about this way of doing it is that on the calculator, you can see me do it all the time. You screw up a number that you key in, or you hit the wrong operator sign and all that. With Excel, as long as you don't touch the blue or orange, all you do is put in the data. There's your answer. That easy. And so if you want to use this one on the quiz or on the midterm or the final, it's there for you. It's just one sheet, one worksheet in there. But it's worth it for you to know this one.
Have you seen something like this on the quiz today?
Who was it? It was Elmer Fudd who said to Bugs Bunny, could be Wabbit. Yes. I'm not saying it is, but I'm not saying it isn't. Basically, I'm not saying. Okay, enough of that nonsense. Let me pull this up. I'm going to do the math of bonds. And I will do this again the week after the midterm. But I have found over the years that this is actually a much more efficient way to do bonds, is to attack it at the numbers level and then go back and explain what just happened. So something that I will want you to do is to go back into your files, and, well, which is what I just went away from. I will. What do you see?
Three bars.
Show me where it is. Let me maximize it. Three bars. Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's very good. I'm glad I showed you that. leave me alone. If you go into your spreadsheets, the one that you're going to want, and this is unfortunately not in student view, but you should be able to see it. You'll see a spreadsheet called Bond Calculations Enhanced. This will be the one that saves you hours of work, because bond calculations are tedious AF. But with this one, you can actually get answers with just keying in numbers, as I've done before. Now, let me explain what's going on with a bond. Close. Now, when you are given a bond, let's say you do A, T, Z, 6.00%, 20, 40, well, let's do 20, 30, 6. Embedded in here is everything you need to know except for two pieces. Now, first of all, we know that the coupon is going to be 6%. 6.00%. Let me be specific. 6.00%. We know that the face value is always $1,000. We know one other thing, what's called the term of the bond. The term is how long the bond has left to live. In this case, the term of the bond is 11 years. There are 11 years from here until 2036. Now, that can be, obviously, I asked ChatGPT, what is the term of me? And it said, it started quoting in months. But anyway, this is 11 years. There are two other pieces of information. You will always be told one, and you will have to find the other. You will either be told the price, and you have to find the yield, or you will be told the yield and you will have to find the price. And as you can see on that spreadsheet, there is a panel on the left. That one is for if you have to find the price. The panel on the right is where you know the price, but you have to give the yield. Here's a side note that is actually important in Excel. Bond prices are what you actually pay for a bond. They're usually between $1,100 and maybe $950. So a price is usually somewhere somewhere between maybe about $1,100 and $950. Par value is 1,000. It's like the fulcrum for bonds. Bonds always teeter between something above and something below. A bond that is selling above par said it's selling at a premium to par. A bond selling below 1,000 is selling at a discount to par. The price always drives the yield. They're mathematically, you saw it in that T-bill problem. They're mathematically related. As the price goes up, the yield goes down. As the price goes down, the yield goes up, and all that kind of stuff. So we can look at the bonds this way. Now let me explain yield to you. That's not the coupon. The yield is what the markets want the bond to pay. The coupon is what it does pay. It's baked into the indenture agreement. But interest rates move all over the place, because especially a company that becomes riskier, bondholders would want a higher coupon, but they can't get it. If this company becomes safer or interest rates in the economy go down, then the investors wouldn't want as much. But they still get that coupon. A side note here. These are prices, and this is important for Excel. Bonds don't quote the price. They quote 1/10 of the price. So if I needed, I could say it's $1,100, or I could say it is 110 on the 100. $950 is 95 on the 100. Often bonds are quoted. You won't see a price, you'll see the quote. Now notice I don't put a dollar sign on that. You might not believe the number of investors who see a $98 for a bond and they think they're going to pay $98 for it. They don't realize that's just a quote. Why that's important? Excel has a stupid split personality. For calculating prices of bonds, everything is in prices. But when you're calculating a yield, it wants the yield on the 100. I have no idea why that is, but you have to just make sure that you give it the right number, especially in that second one. If I ask this on a quiz or on the final exam, I will make sure, if I'm giving you a quote, I'll say on the 100. Or if I'm giving you a price, you'll know I've got to turn that into a quote. But let me just do two problems. And I would caution you that these take a long time manually to get. Let's try ATZ 6.00% 2036. Currently yields 6.31%. Find the price. Notice something. This bond pays 6%. But investors say that's not what we want. We'd want 6.31%. So they're going to punish this bond because it can't give them as much as they want. So we should expect this bond to sell at a discount to par. But you don't need to worry too much about that right now, because all I'm going to do is put in the stupid numbers. What's the coupon? It's 6.00. What's the yield to maturity? It's 6.31. What's the term of the bond? It's 11 years. You see that too? That's telling us that the coupon is broken into two payments every year, like real bonds are. You can put in a one there. It actually doesn't change the numbers very much at all, usually. So I just have a two in there, and you could probably just leave it at that. Huh? By the way, the term always starts with the current year, 2025. So in this case, 2036 is 11 years from now. That's why I put that 11 in there. And as you can see, 975.68. You got the price. And sure enough, notice, it's selling at a discount to the par of 1,000. Because the market says, we want 6.31%. This bond pays less than that, so we're going to punish that bond. We're going to sell it and drop its price. Let me take the other side of it. TRB 5.25% 2041 currently sells at 1,021.50. Find the yield. Notice something here. I gave you the price, but on that side of the spreadsheet, it wants on the 100. So I've got to convert that into on the 100. In other words, divide it by 10. Let's proceed. The term. This bond, how many years? Okay. 16 years. The term is 16 years. From 2025 to 2041 is 16 years. Taking it down, what's the coupon on it? 5.25%. Frequency, now in this one I put it at 1. It can be 1 or 2. In real world, it's always 2. But I just put it as 1 there. You could change it to 2. But here's the one where you have to watch yourself, because you need that on the 100. So that would be 102.15. Notice that the market doesn't, this bond is selling at a premium to par. That means that what they want is not as much as what this bond is paying them more than they want. So we should see the yield to maturity below the coupon rate. Let's see. Sure enough, 5.05%. That's why it's selling at a premium to par, because it's paying more, the coupon is more than the investors want. And so they're going to buy a bunch of these bonds, push the price up above par. Now we'll do this again. I promise you, after the midterm week next week, so you can get it more comfortable with it. But realistically, this is all there is to it, is getting the numbers fitted into the right places in the sheets, and then letting Excel do the hard work so we don't have to. But you don't need this sheet for today, but keep that HPR sheet on hand, the holding period return. Now, what I want you to do here is go into and get your get your radar, attendance radar, set up and firing. Now, once you have done that, I'll put the password on the board. You take the quiz here in class, of course. And once you're done with it, that's all I have for you today. I thank you.